anything could happen, you know.
Start again. No.
The pacemaker goes off, the whole thing will explode. Okay. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You need to pray for the power and the filling of the Holy Ghost to be upon you. You just sang 409, So Little Time, written by Dr. John R. Rice, who led thousands of people personally to the Lord Jesus Christ, along with his great evangelistic meetings, where he also won scores of thousands across America in great evangelistic meetings. And he was doing all of that before Billy Graham was born, just about. Oh, Dr. Rice, preaching the word of God and standing for the Lord and for soul winning, reaching souls. Now that's our great work, isn't it? God wants voices. John was a voice. Jesus came preaching, a voice for the Lord, a voice for the Father. The disciples went forward and they voiced the gospel. You and I also are to be voices for the Lord. Here in Adelaide, here in the North Side districts, what a wonderful opportunity we have to go out with the message of the gospel. You are to be a voice for God, to speak for the Lord. Don't tell me you can't speak. Now that's the devil. That's the devil. He's telling you all the time. He's telling you you're useless and you ought to go and eat worms and feel miserable and sorry for yourself and you know, and keep your mouth shut so you don't cause any trouble and upset any people and all the rest of it. But God wants you to use that voice for his glory, to be spirit-filled and to get the message across to a lost world. And we're going to look now at the Apostle Paul's testimony here and to some of his advice about speaking for the Lord. And I'm hoping that by the time we get through, we might see that we can all have a part in this. Remember in that first message I mentioned that God uses ordinary people. He has chosen the foolish things and so on. By that, I was trying to show you that you need to be included in the soul-winning team and see yourself as part of the soul-winning team. Now, we know God wants voices in prayer. Use your voice in prayer before you try to use it in witness. He wants voices in prayer and voices in witness to plead with God for the salvation of souls, and that God would do a great work. God does bless the prayers of his saints, and it is important and essential for the saints of God to go to the Lord in prayer. Ask and you shall receive. You want to win a soul for Christ? Well, then ask. You want to bring someone to the Lord? As a Christian, you need to make a list of people that you are regularly meeting up with daily or weekly, people that you meet up with in your round of friends and so on that are not saved. Make a list and start praying through that list of those individuals that they would be saved and become very much aware of who they are. So we go to chapter 2 then of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 1. Keep this Bible up in vision area. Okay, that'll help. Amen. It's good when you can see the Word of God. Amen. Right. Chapter 2 and verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Singulate, globular. How I ponder thy nature specific. What did I say? Twinkle, twinkle, little star. Singulate, twinkle, globular, the star, you know. That's high-flown language there for you, isn't it? What about this? Because of your depravity, you need redeeming from the eternal abyss of the nether gloom of darkness. For people who are existentially, subjectively going down to the dragon's abyss, from which they will never be extradited. What did I say? Huh? Those words, you know, we need to get it simple. Kiss, you need to learn to kiss, all right? That's for the married ones, of course. You need to learn to kiss. What's kiss? Keep it simple, stupid. Amen? Now look, we're all a bit that way, amen? Okay, forgive me. But we're all a little bit that way, and we do not generally know how to use excellency of speech. Now this excellency of speech is an educated, high intellectual manner of communication. And it belongs to very educated people, and oftentimes they're snobs. Amen? And we don't know what in the world they're trying to say. Okay, because they're talking high-flown language which is above the head of the ordinary man. Don't go out there thinking you've got to use all the great theological terms. You need to be saved by grace. I don't know, grace? What are you talking about? I had an auntie that was called Grace. You know, what I'm getting at is I'm not trying to mock these terminologies, but we need to make sure that people understand what we're saying. I don't think that because you haven't had a university education or you're not the sharpest pencil in the set, you know, that you can't do witnessing. You can. You can, because you're going to be talking to ordinary people who talk ordinary language. And if you do use a word redeemed, then reverse up and explain what that means. If you do, which you will need to explain repentance. So say you need to repent and reverse up repeat over. By that I mean that you need to have a different heart attitude about your sin, turning away from it, coming to Christ, acknowledging your need as a sinner. So we need to get it down to a language that the people can understand that we are speaking to. Now and again, you might find an intellectual who will want to converse more on a bit higher level. Well then, pray for grace, amen? and help the person to read some scripture. That'll help, because the scriptures are in beautiful, technical and high-flown language. And we need them that way. Rubbishy good news for modern man and other rubbishy modern versions and leave out half the words. Somebody with a bit of a mind, a bit of an education, it's a mockery to them to use those sort of things and think that you're going to use them for soul winning. They're not going to cut it. So, know your Bible, know your plan of salvation, and explain it to people in language that they can understand. It's so important. That's what the Apostle Paul did. Now, he was educated. He would have been one of the most educated theologians that you could meet in the world at the time. If you think about his upbringing as a child, you think about his education under Gamaliel, the greatest teacher in the Hebrew religion, intellectualism he had. Don't worry about that. That's why Mars Hill, he gets into some very deep truths there and is able to expound them and to bring them out. But so he had no problem conversing with Caesar. Friends, why did he want to go there to Rome and put his life on the line? And it was his last opportunity. He could handle that. He could speak to King Agrippa. He could handle this with these people. He could communicate. He was on that level, no doubt about that. And look at the amazing scriptures that God inspired through this man. And how wonderful they are. Now, if anybody could use that high language, he could use that. But you see, when he came to Corinth, he wanted to win sinners to Christ. They needed to know their need as sinners. And also, he wanted them to hear about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse chapter 1:23. We preach Christ, a crucified unto the Jews, a stumbling block unto the Greeks, foolishness. He understood that the Greeks would laugh at him and would want to discount and put the message aside and go and have another oinos, which is wine. Okay, they were wine bibbers, a lot of them, and so on. It goes on. But, you know, we preach Christ crucified. They won't like to hear about the blood. I was in a meeting once where this foolish young minister was trying to explain to the people not to talk about the blood. It would turn people off. And he went on, he had a list of half a dozen things that you weren't supposed to talk about. Well, friends, if you wanted to win souls for Christ, you had nothing to say because you were not allowed to talk about the blood of Christ. You were not allowed to get down on the matter of sin and so forth. And that was foolishness. Okay, the Apostle Paul, he preached Christ crucified. And people need to know that the Lord Jesus Christ died in our place and took our sins upon himself. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Look at verse 24 then. But unto them which are called both both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of and the wisdom of God. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So, friends, we need to know the gospel and we need to be able to break it down to language that is understood by the ordinary man. Stop using the excuse that I don't know how to talk about the gospel. And I haven't got the education or the language. No, stop that. Just give it to them. Give it to them straight, amen? Tell it as it is, and God will bless that. Number two there, point number two in verse two, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. This was the focus of his testimony to people. Christ and him crucified. So get them talking about the cross. Get them over into thinking about what Christ did and the value of the cross of Christ and the effectiveness of the cross and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And with that, don't forget the resurrection. Amen. Include that in there. So the Apostle Paul wanted to make Christ known. He didn't beat around the bush. If you want to make Christ known and you need a good verse, John 3:16, there's the basic. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that good. Some of you need to brush up on it. It's a great verse for witnessing. And that to show the love of Christ was in Christ, love of God was in Christ there, the revelation of God in Christ at the cross of Calvary. Preach Christ and him crucified. And the Lord will bless that indeed. Number three, speak when you are feeling very weak and vulnerable perhaps. Verse three, and I was with you in what? Let's hear it. Come on, crowd.
Weakness.
And in
fear.
And in much trembling. You've got to help me. You've got to help me out with this. And also, you've got to stay with it. I know this is the last session, amen? So it's a challenge for me to stay awake and to keep you awake, amen? So if something weird happens up here, it's to keep you awake, okay? All right. I'll try my best. I was with you in weakness. Now, how often is this happening? Even if you're going to the prayer meeting, 9:30 prayer meeting, don't miss the prayer meeting. Even if you're not able to be part of the team yet, okay? the prayer meeting, we are praying for God's power and His enabling. How often when we go there to pray, we feel what? Very weak. Very weak and vulnerable. So we face there our satanic warfare that we're about to engage in as a soldier of the cross and a witness for the Lord. We're feeling quite weak, and we will oftentimes use that as an excuse. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Walk and not faint. That's what we need out visiting, amen? Walk and not faint. I was out visiting door to door. Had the pastor's little 5-year-old daughter with me. And I was climbing up these steps and I went splat right on the veranda at the top of the steps. I tripped. And I don't have a lot of strength in the old legs now, you've noticed. But and I went down, rather, I went down, the tracks went everywhere, and the little pastor's daughter said, "Don't worry, pastor, just get up. Just get up." She said, "Oh, I'll get the tracks," and so on. Oh, she ran home. When she got home, she ran in and said to her mother, "Guess what? Pastor Ringwood, he took me out visiting door to door, not just doing tracks." And anyway, she was a blessing that day. She was Miss Independent Baptist at the time. She had a nice blue denim skirt on, and a nice top. Very modest, ladies, very modest. And she had a billen bag, which someone had given her. You know what a billen bag is? It was coming right from New Guinea, and it's a little woven bag that they put over their shoulder. I don't know what you ladies would call that thing. A bag, just a bag. She had that over her shoulder and she had her tracks in there, and man, she was ready to go. Praise the Lord. So it was that we had quite a time of it. But when that happens and you're feeling weak and vulnerable, get up and get on with it, amen? Get up with it. Don't look at yourself. Look at Christ. Look to Him, and He will help you most of all. I think what you do when you go out to speak for the Lord, what happens to you is you have a dose of stage fright. How many of you had stage fright? You know what that is, where you face a situation and everything, you get lockjaw, amen? And you're trying to say something and your brain is out on holiday somewhere, you know. And you're trying to think, what do I say next? Oh dear. Well, stage fright is, on the one hand you want to say something, on the other hand you're scared to death to say anything, okay? So how do you overcome that feeling? Focus on the Lord and His word and His strength and His purposes in why you're there doing what you're doing. You're not representing your own auspices, you're representing the Lord. And if they're nasty to you, they're really nasty at the Lord. So don't take it personally. Some people go out and try visitation and they have a little situation here and there and they say, "Well, that's it, I'm not going out." It's what they get offended by the lost and what they say or do, or the fact that you have to go and sow and you don't see a result straight away. You have to keep sowing. So don't get offended by the unbeliever. What do you expect the lost soul to be like? They're not going to be they're going to be nasty, let me tell you. But they need the Lord, amen? And the worst of them need it the most. So there we go. So don't be afraid to go in weakness. In weakness, you are relying upon the Lord. In weakness, you are discovering the strength of Christ, who can use you in unusual ways. Now, the person that answers the door, that's on the other side of the door, can pick that. They can see that you're nervous, but you've taken the time out of your busy life to go to them. And that means a lot. Means a lot. So don't be afraid when you're feeling very weak and vulnerable to step up to the plate. The Apostle Paul did in his situation, even with his education and background. Look at verse number 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So he came, and his speech and preaching was not slick and like a slick salesperson that's going to get a sale no matter what. He didn't come using those slick words and tricky words to get people involved and to get them to respond. Okay, it's important, I think, that we don't use high power tactics and the world's tactics. Don't try and fight the devil with the devil's tactics. Don't try and use the world's ways in order to convince the world. That will work against you. Okay? So it wasn't with enticing words. He didn't try and talk them into a decision, a quick decision and a quick prayer right there. Rather, his preaching was not with enticing words, but in the demonstration of the power of God. So here he had in his life the power of God. He was an ordinary believer who trusted the living God, not a high-pressured salesperson in that verse number 4. Number 4, the second one there. Speak in the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to yell. You don't have to be inordinate and nasty. No, you don't have to be like that at all. You must show them the love of Christ as you go forward, relying on the Holy Spirit. Now, there's quite a difference between trying to push your message and asking God and His Spirit to take control and to open the doors, to melt hearts. The influence of the Holy Spirit is greater than your influence will ever be. And that is the influence of the Spirit of God that works to touch people's life. Demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power. When Paul preached, when he spoke to people, they could see this man has a passion which comes from Christ. He has a life which is different. And he comes to us in the power of God, so different to the scribes and Pharisees and other religious workers that tried to be pushy and do the work. When we're talking about soul winning, door to door, whatever that might be, street work or so on, we need to go in the power of the Holy Spirit. So many people have gone aggressively with a bad attitude, and it's only resulted in them being discouraged and giving up, and the unsaved saying, well, look at those Christians, the way they carry on. So it is that we need to be careful about that. I've done door to door, I've done street work of every kind. We used to take a team out regularly, and when we were in Redcliffe in Queensland, we had a team and we would fill up our coaster bus with 20 or so people and maybe a car following along, and we would go and stand on the steps outside of the town hall. I had to get onto the soul winning team to dress up a bit more. Because the people that we met in the middle of Brisbane on a Saturday night were on their way to the theatre or some other thing, and they were dressed in formals. You see, Brisbane is not a beach city. Brisbane is a river city, and it's got quite a culture at the heart of it. And when you go downtown, so on a Saturday night, no, this is a few years ago, it's probably changed a bit now, but I think we need to dress right and behave properly in order to have a good impression and a good testimony for the Lord in that situation. Number 5 then, verse number 5, that your faith should stand in the wisdom, not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Where is the power of God? Soul winner, come on, help me out. Where's the power of God? I'm giving you a hint right here. The Word of God. Use the Word. And those things of the Scriptures will stick in people's minds. They might get annoyed at the start. And people have to get mad before they can get glad. Amen. Is that true? Of course. Of course. Certainly, if you haven't seen them get mad, well, you're about to. Amen. Get in the soul winning team there. So speak God's word. Give them God's wisdom on the matter. You know, when they bring up these different arguments and they want to get into an intellectual argument and discussion, you know, it's disarming to them if you just give them the Bible. If you just give them the script on the subject, that is. Just give them the Bible. Say, excuse me, this is what God says about it. So just keep feeding them with that. And inevitably God will work. Also, go in faith. That your faith should stand in the not in the wisdom of men. So go by faith in God. So, well, I've read the book. I've read Dr. Wee's book. And I've got all the arguments. I've read the whole of the answers book with, I think, 5,280 answers, something like that. Huge number of answers by Pastor Piper. And you ought to get hold of that, by the way. Get hold of that. Get Dr. Wee's. A lot of the questions you were asking Pastor about there are dealt with, and more, by Dr. Wee in his book, which is recently written and has some very interesting information about creation and so forth. You should be up to date as well, up to speed. The latest finding is a skull that predates the oldest of fossils and things that they've got. A skull which contained a, well, brain. Amen. It wasn't, you know, ape-like or anything like that. And so the conclusion was that man was there right at the very early stages. Amen? That's what the Bible says, isn't it? God created those things and man was there right there. So it shouldn't surprise you. In the oldest part of the geological column, there is man. There is man. Man with a brain, amen? God gave us that right at the start. The fact that Adam and Eve didn't use it, that's another story. No, number 7, verse number 7. Where are we here? Okay, verse 7. But we speak, notice again the emphasis on this chapter, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. Okay, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Look at Colossians 1:27, just quickly. Quickly, Colossians 1:27. If you get it, stand up and read it. Come on, sword drill. You awake? Are you still awake? Ah, here was a man on the front row and a second man back there.
Sorry.
Thank you.
To whom God would make known what is the richness of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's a mystery to people. And that's part of the glorious mystery that you are telling them about. If Christ comes into your life, it's going to make such a difference. And so that's wonderful, isn't it? That you can talk about that. It's complex, yes, and needs to be explained. It's something that was hidden from the ages, the cross of Christ and his indwelling in the believer, something that people don't understand, they don't get, and the work of the Holy Spirit. So this is the wisdom of God and that needs to be explained. It's beyond human intellect, and the testimony is so important. Okay, number 8, verse number 8 there. You can study these more fully, you'll get more out of them. I haven't got time to develop them fully. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have what?
Crucified
the Lord of glory. If the devil knew that he was going to be the loser by the crucifixion, he might have thought twice about his evil plan. But that was foreordained before the foundation of the earth, that one should come and die for our sins to redeem us. What a wonderful Saviour we have. So here is something important that needs to be stated clearly, and that Christ's crucifixion is so important in our lives and in the work that we do for the Lord. Number 10, that God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. It's a revelation of the Spirit of God, who Christ is, what he has done for our sins, and to come into our lives. I speak out of a personal experience of Christ, and of what the Word of God says about that. God's revealed them unto us. You speak because he spoke to you. He showed you your need as a sinner. And by the way, the most powerful weapon against the enemy and in soul winning is your own testimony. And, you know, when you start to get into that and I've spoken to all kinds of people at all kinds of different levels of society, and from psychologists and all sorts of people like that. And, when I was 16, I heard the gospel that Christ died for my sins, and that was clearly made known to me. And the Spirit of God began to convict me, and at 16, my life was completely changed. I didn't know anything about the Lord, anything about church. I was unchurched. And we went to Sunday school as kids and learned about the atom bomb. It was anti-atom, you know, uniting church stuff, you know. It's about all we got there. We didn't get the gospel. So we didn't get that at all. So at 16, I didn't change my life. I hadn't got a clue how to do that. Okay, I didn't know where I was. I was out of control, basically, like most of those guys are, 16, unless they've accepted the Lord. They're out of control. They're doing their own thing and making a terrible mess of it, and think that they're tough, you know, and all that sort of stuff. But at 16, I didn't know how to change my ways, how to change my life. I knew about my sin. The Holy Spirit was convicting me about that. But I had not a clue how I could get the victory, how I could get out and get over that. And when I received Christ, what a change. Heaven above, softer blue, earth beneath, sweeter green. Something lives in every hue Christ's eyes have never seen. So, you know, what a difference the Lord makes. A 16-year-old teenager who didn't know which way was up, soon discovered life in Christ and a new creature in Christ. Now I had to discover what that was all about then, as God began to work in my life. Let me know how I'm going for time. Probably going to run right out real quick. Okay, so the personal testimony is very important. Verse 13. Which things we speak, verse 13, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. You've got to get spiritual about soul. You can't just push out there in the flesh and think that you're going to do it. You've got all the answers and you're going to do it. No, compare spiritual things with spiritual things. Get the conversation onto a spiritual level and talk about that. Now, that does require that you are going to need to get into the Word, and you're going to need to prepare yourself properly for that kind of thing. Okay? And the personal testimony is your greatest weapon against the enemy, so work on that. Number 14, go despite the opposition. But the natural man what?
Help
me out. The natural man what? Hope you all, that's verse 14 there, folks. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Need a work of the Spirit of God to convict people of their need. But you're up against the natural man. This is your opposition. Humanism and all that goes with that is going to be your opposition. But don't worry about that. You just tell them of Christ. Preach Christ. Speak the things which God has said. Give them the word of God. Get to know your Bible and be prepared with some key verses in the battle. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto them, neither can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Well, you are going to need to pray that the Spirit of God will work through you to touch them. So you need to be spiritual. You need to be Spirit-filled, yielded to the Holy Spirit, confessed up and cleansed and ready, a powerful, sharp instrument in the Lord's hands. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. So God will use you. We have the mind of Christ, we find in verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. They don't have a clue. But we have the mind of Christ. We have the work of Christ within. We have the knowledge of Christ, who he is and what he's done. I've got a couple of new tyres on the front of my bomb out there, and which I like, a nice V6. It's got a bit of punch, but also it wears out the front tyres quicker than the old four-cylinder. Anyway, I went to there and I said, "Have you got, what's the cheapest tyres you've got, mate?" And he took me in this pile of tyres and showed me, he said, "These ones, $75. I said, "Where are they, mate?" "China." He said, "Don't worry, sir, these are very good." So I said, "Well, that sounds like a good deal, right? Let's get them on." So whilst he was working on getting them on, his brother came in and he spoke to him in a funny language, strange language. And I said to them, I said, "What language are you boys speaking?" And they told me, "Oh, I can't even tell you what it was." They said this language, but they come from Tibet or somewhere, Afghanistan, somewhere up in there, you know. And they were going on and so on. And I said, "Well, which part of the world would that be found in?" And they told me, and I said, "And up in that part of the world, what sort of religion would you have?" Huh? Conversations, okay?
Yeah.
Get talking. Ask questions. "What sort of religion would you have?" "Islam." "Oh." I said, "Well, I'm a Christian and I've been a pastor." "Oh, very good. Christian people are very good." His brother was a taxi driver. He said, "I see them all the time in the taxi. They're pretty good people, the Christian ones. After all, we worship..." Who did they worship? "And you worship Christ. You know, we have Muhammad for our prophet. So, you know, you have Christ." I said, "Oh, now, there's a great deal of difference between the two." "Oh, really?" "Yes, Christ, you know, rose again," and so on. The other guy seemed to be going faster now, putting the tyres on and thinking about the cash register, you know. But, praise God, and guess what, folks? Guess what? I'm going to be what? Come on. What did I tell you about door knocking? We're going to be going back. And then? Don't think you've got to do everything all in the one visit. and it's all done and dusted and that person's never going to get saved. No, keep going. The longest I kept going to win a person to the Lord, 7 years.
And that's the reason why we buy the cheap tyres.
Yes.
Huh?
You'll go back and get through it because you bought the cheap
tyres. Oh, amen. When the back ones are wore out, I put them on the front. You know, when the back ones are gone, brother, I'll be back there and I'll be... If you want cheap tyres, folks, I'll do an ad for them. I haven't found out either. He said, oh, these tyres. I know Islam, they can tell a lot of lies. Oh, these tyres, very good, last long time. I'll find out. At the moment, it's the price that got me. Anyway, but you know, this is the thing. We have the mind of Christ and we're going to be going back. Always, don't lose hope with your contacts. And ladies and gentlemen, write down your contact. Or somebody got me up to speed. Dad, put it on your phone. Well, that's not me, you know, right? I need my little notepad or a little card or something. Not only that, I can hand it over to Brother Seth or Pastor somebody and they can follow that up and so on. If it's a lady contact, I like to get ladies to follow up. Some ladies will talk to a nice young man. Oh, yeah, bring me to church. Oh, he's pretty good. Be careful, guys. Look out. You don't want Jezebel after you. That's the last thing you want. Okay, go on over to the next point there, then, if you're writing down notes. If you can get notes on this rambly presentation here. Well, when you get old, your brain, you know, it's just not the same. It's just not the same. Okay, point number three there, share the gospel. And we've had a lot of time on that, a beautiful gospel presentation which Pastor shared. I've used booklets like that in the past and trained the team of soul winners to do the same. And they found very interesting results, especially with a callback situation. Try and arrange, if you can't get them to agree to come to church with you, try and get a call back. Do you mind if I come back and, you know, you can't carry your big study Bible and all your materials with you, but you can say, do you mind if I come back and we sit down and chat and I can show you a nice presentation which might help you? Oh, I know you've got 101 questions. Get rid of the distractions. Don't let them distract you. That's what the devil wants. He wants them to bring up some things that you can't answer, you don't know about. Put pastor onto them, amen.
Amen.
No, seriously. That's what I'd do. That's what I would do. Especially since I wasn't the pastor anymore and I'm on the visitation team. We struck a person that may be interested in a difficult person. Go back, give pastor the address. Sick him onto them, amen. Get out there, bulldog tenacity of pastors. Oh boy, they can get results. Anyway, well, remember that. Share the gospel. You got the Romans Road. Learn that off by heart. There is a John Road as well that you can use. That's another good one. Or the stop track. God has blessed that stop track. Even just the ordinary black and white, printed on cheap Indian or African paper. God, look, that when it was in just the black and white cheap copy, doctors and lawyers and intellectuals have been won to Christ through that. And in a lot of cases with Brother Piper, somebody else had tried. He's one of the few that's won Jehovah's Witnesses to Christ. I don't know, they're very hard to get through and to work with the Jehovah's Witnesses. They've been burnt by the Witnesses, even if they're not getting involved, even if they're out of it. So learn that gospel presentation and use it. Don't be afraid to use it and make an appointment. Come back. and do it that way, and God will bless you. Okay. So, number two, I jumped a page there. I jumped a page. How did I do that? Number two is your personal testimony there. It's on the second page, or wherever it is in those notes. I've got a different thing here which throws me all over the place. Okay, so your personal testimony, again, I said that before, it's so vital that you get your personal testimony down pat. Write it out, and if you're having difficulty with it, write it down and do your best with that, and then go to pastor or someone experienced and ask them what they think of that presentation, and are there any ways that you can make it better? So with that personal testimony, you need to get it prepared ahead of time, write it out, rewrite it, get it down so it's 5 minute, get a 5 minute version so you can do it very quickly as opportunity is there. Write it out and use scripture. Use three main headings. What I was. I broke out of the bars and I didn't. And when I was five, I got saved. Now, tell the truth of your testimony, okay? I was kept behind bars, yeah, in a baby's. Just be honest with it and tell it as it is. Listen, I haven't got much of a testimony. I was saved when I was five. No, you're wrong. You were saved when you were 3, 4, 5, whatever it was, and you remember what happened, and you can talk about how God worked. That's a powerful testimony. And not only that, He's kept you. That's powerful. It really is. And so you've got to be able to... Now, so when you talk about what I was, don't glorify sin and so on. You know, I stole from shops and everything. Yeah, my parents had a deli as well, and I used to take the cigarettes occasionally. I took them once. You know, don't try and make a story and make yourself, you know, people that will soon know that you're not talking the truth. But don't glorify sin. But you were a sinner. There were things in your life. Talk about the guilt and the different problems that you had because of that sin. And so then what Christ did to change my life. What Christ did. How He made the difference. Forgiveness, new life, changed lifestyle. And different things changed in your life. So what Christ did. Glorify the Lord. What Christ did. Well, I accepted the Lord and now I'm doing really well. Excuse me. Pride, arrogancy, all of that stuff. It's not going to cut it. Okay, so be humble with your presentation and glorify Christ. And then that point C, the third section there, what God is doing in my life now. From the time I accepted the Lord till now. And, you know, some people will have a couple of hours for you to tell your life story. No, you've got to be able to get it down pat, amen? You've got to be able to get it down through and go through. Keep it simple, approximately 5 minutes on it. Rewrite it several times and memorize it. Rehearse it with others. Keep Christ central. And then with the conclusion and emphasis in what Christ did, what He can do for you. Okay, what He can do for the person that you're talking to. Oh, but I'm very, you know, you don't know my life. No, don't worry about that. Christ can come and He can make a difference. Yeah, but what about Mary? What about the angels? Well, let's get to that. We'll get to that later. Let's look at this at the moment, what it means for salvation. And make the point what he did for you and what he did for me, he will do for you. He will do it for others. Stuart Hamlin was witnessing one day to, after his conversion, he was a famous actor and so on, well known in Hollywood, and he was one day witnessing John Wayne. You know that John Wayne, the famous cowboy film star? And he was witnessing to him one day, and he said, what he's done for me, he'll do for you. What he's done for me, he'll do for you. And John Wayne said, that sounds like the title of a song. He said, what he, how did the song go? My mind's going now. What God can do, what he's
done for others,
he'll do for you. And that's what he wrote a song about, a song along that line. I don't know if you know the song. I'd sing it to you if I had a voice, but anyway, you don't need it. So there we go. But he witnessed to him about his testimony, and that man heard the gospel. Okay. So what about a person like that? Yeah, lost, you know, lost and undone. So share the gospel, make it loud and clear. Also, remember in your presentation when you're concluding about the importance of receiving Christ as Saviour and how you do that. Because I've found religious people all over the place and they can even talk about Christ and what he's done and so on, and they've got some knowledge there. They've got some knowledge. What time are we finishing?
Five.
Okay. And, but they have never received Christ. They haven't known what that is to receive Christ personally. No, they may go to church and do the communion and all the rest of it, and all the other hocus pocus and all the things that they do, you know, in their religion. And they are told that by receiving the communion they receive Christ, but they're not transformed by that experience. You know what I mean? So you must explain to them that they need to come and receive. You've got those verses, as many as received him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. We know that the general meaning of that has to do with Christ outside of a church, wanting to get in and get involved, wanting the people to receive him and his word. But that's so too of the individual. Christ wants to come in. So you can talk about that and how to receive the Lord. And I've had a lot of people over the years say, nobody ever explained that to me. And so then you're right for your next step. Well, why don't you do it right now? Amen? You can bow in prayer. Let's do it now. Well, here, why not? God is everywhere and he wants to save you. Now is the day of salvation. Oh, right. Never saw that before. Get down with them and lead them in the salvation prayer. Outline the prayer to them and you'll be amazed the kinds of prayers that some people pray when they really start to get down to that, receiving Christ as their personal Saviour. So there we have it, some helps there, some ideas there, some hints there from God's word on how to be a spokesperson for God. What does God want? What did I say at the start? What does God want? A voice! Be a voice for God! You've all got one, amen?
Yes.
Put up your hand if you don't have one. Mr. Daniel, what a thou shalt not bear false witness, brother. I heard you talking on that PA system, you know, and you were making out we were at the airport. You know what happened to me at Adelaide Airport? I was listening to
So listen to these guys talking about their work and everything, getting involved. In the meantime, they were calling me up. They called me up 5 times in a different leaving lounge, and I wasn't there, you know, so I missed that plane. It wasn't that long ago. But no, you have a voice, use it for the Lord. Now, what it might mean, however, is for some of you have never really come to that point of giving God your tongue. You know, old Bessie, she had a long tongue. She could gossip all you could imagine. She could gossip. If she was at the front door, her tongue was long enough in her gossip to reach from the front door right down to the kitchen and lick the skillet. That's how long her tongue was. But the problem with her is that she'd never given that tongue to the Lord. She could gossip a lot about everybody else and everything else that was going on, and about how long the minister's sermon was and everything. She could do all that, but yet she couldn't speak for God. How sad that is. Give him your tongue. Give him your ability to speak and that voice. Yield your heart to him. The Spirit's fullness. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. That's true spiritual surrender. And you shall be witnesses unto me. God's going to work in and through you and give you the words to say. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it, saith the Lord. Amen? That's the scripture there. So give him that voice of yours. Ask him to use you. And ask him to give you somebody that you can even practice on to start with, amen? You're inexperienced. Ask him to pray that prayer. Lead me to some soul today. Teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin, cannot find the way. Melt my heart and use my life. Lead me to some soul today. God, we will do that. There's people around you that you haven't spoken to yet for the gospel. You need to. You need to. You've got the voice. You've got the message. You've got the gospel. Yes, there's homework to be done, but there's no one here in this room that couldn't do that homework and prepare. You're not too young. Thomas there, he's sincere about all this. You're not too young. Let's pray. Excuse me. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the voices that you have given us. And thank you that you can use them, but give them to you and yield them to you. Pray, Father, that you would help us with that. And Lord, we thank you for what you can do. And we pray your blessing upon each one here, that, Lord, they will be part of that team to go out with the gospel, distributing tracts, speaking to people, whatever. Lord, bless us. Thank you for the freedom and opportunity. Fill us, Lord, by your Spirit, and use us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You wouldn't believe it, but I used to be an introverted, quiet person. Wouldn't say boo to a goose. Wouldn't even look people in the face. That was me. What did God do? Made me a nuisance to you. All right.